Horst cringed, crossing himself instinctively as she dropped like a stone, not even uttering a cry. Then anger poured through him at his own cravenness. He stood up and strode purposefully out of the trees.
"Father!"
Jay squeaked behind him. "Father, don't!" He paid no heed. In a world gone mad, one more insanity would make no difference. He had sworn himself to follow Christ a long time ago, but it meant more to him now than it ever had. And a child lay suffering before him. Father Horst Elwes was through with evasions and hiding. Several of the adults stopped to watch as he marched into the village, Jay scuttling along behind him. Horst pitied them for the husks they were. The human state of grace had been drained from their bodies. He could tell, accepting the gift of knowledge as his right. 6 or 7 villagers formed a loose group standing between him and Shona, their faces known but not their souls. One of the women, Bridget Hearn, never a regular churchgoer, laughed at him, her arm rising. A ball of white fire emerged from her open fingers and raced towards him. Jay screamed, but Horst stood perfectly still, face resolute. The fireball started to break apart a couple of meters away from him, dimming and expanding. It burst with a wet crackle as it touched him, tiny strands of static burrowing through his filthy sweatshirt. They stung like hornets across his belly, but he refused to reveal his pain to the semicircle of watchers. "Do you know what this is?" Horst thundered. He lifted the stained and muddied silver crucifix that hung round his neck, brandishing it, Bridget Hearn, as though it was a weapon. "I am the Lord's servant, as you are the devil's, and I have his work to do. Now stand aside." A spasm of fright crossed Bridget Hearn's face, as the silver cross was shaken in front of her. "I'm not," she said faintly. "I'm not the devil's servant. None of us are." "Then stand aside. That girl is badly hurt." Bridget Hearn glanced behind her and took a couple of steps to one side. The other people in the group hurriedly parted, their faces apprehensive. One or two walked away. Horst gestured briefly at Jay to follow him, and went over to the fallen girl. He grimaced at the singed and blackened skin of her face. Her pulse was beating wildly. She had probably gone into shock, he decided. He scooped her up in his arms and started for the church. "I had to come back," Bridget Hearn said, as Horst walked away. Her body was all hunched up, eyes brimming with tears. "You don't know what it's like. I had to." "It?" Horst asked impatiently. "What is it?"
"Death."
Horst shuddered, almost breaking his stride. Jay looked round fearfully at the woman.
400 years, Bridget Hearn called out falteringly. "I died 400 years ago. 400 years of nothing."
Horst barged into the small infirmary at the back of the church and laid Shona down on the wooden table which doubled as an examination bed. He snatched the medical processor block from its shelf and applied a sensor pad to the nape of her neck. The metabolic display appeared as he described her injuries to the processor. Horst read the results and gave the girl a sedative, then started spraying a combination analgesic and cleansing fluid over the burns. "Jay," he said quietly, "I want you to go into my room and fetch my rucksack from the cupboard. Put in all the packets of pre-processed food you can find, then the tent I used when we first arrived, and anything else you think will be useful to camp out in the jungle. The little fission blade, my portable heater, that kind of stuff. But leave some space for my medical supplies. Oh, and I need my spare boots, too."
"Are we leaving?"
"Yes."
"Are we going to Durringham?"
"I don't know. Not straight away."
"Can I go and fetch Drusilla?"
"I don't think it's a good idea. She'll be better off here than tramping through the jungle with us."
"All right, I understand."
He heard her moving about in his room as he worked on Shona. The younger girl's nose was burnt almost down to the bone, and the metabolic display said only one retina was functional. Not for the first time he despaired the lack of Nanonic medical packages. A decent supply would hardly have bankrupted the church. He had flushed the dead skin from Shona's burns as best he could, coating them in a thin layer of corticosteroid foam to ease the inflammation, and was binding her head with a quantity of his dwindling stock of epithelium membrane, when Jane came back in carrying his rucksack. It was packed professionally, and she had even rolled up his sleeping bag.
"I got some stuff for myself," she said, and held up a bulging shoulder bag.